I want to be clear at the outset, to a person, we are all pro-vaccine. Personally, I've had every flu shot since at least the swine flu. I'm current in all my other vaccines. I was a huge supporter of Operation Warp Speed. Happy to acknowledge that over 300 million doses of the vaccine have been given in the U.S., and for most people, the vast majority of people, the vaccine has been administered with little or no side effects. And I personally believe the vaccine has saved countless lives and certainly contributed to the end of this pandemic, which is what everybody in the world wants. And so I think I can speak for everybody. We had a real nice session up in my office earlier. I think that's the general attitude, but again, I'll let the group speak for itself. But again, just because the vaccine is generally safe doesn't mean that it's 100% safe. Last week, the Wall Street Journal carried a column by two doctors, Dr. Joseph Ladapo, he's an associate professor of medicine at UCLA's School of Medicine, and Dr. Harvey Risch, he's a senior professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health. The op-ed was titled, quote, "Are COVID vaccines riskier than advertised?" In that column, the doctors report that, quote, "The large clustering of certain adverse events immediately after vaccinating is concerning." I would agree. And then they list four that follow that pattern of clustering immediately following vaccination, and they're listing low platelets, non-infectious myocarditis, that's what you're hearing about, the inflammation of the heart with generally younger men, deep vein thrombosis, the clotting, and death. So today we're here because Ken Ruckers, I think you probably all recognize Ken, a lot more famous than I am, reached out to me. And I'll let Ken tell his story. But the story of him reaching out to me is one that I think everybody will sympathize with. What's been happening over the last year and a half is people that are trying to tell the truth, people that are trying to get answers, are having a hard time getting their truths communicated without being vilified, without being ridiculed, without being censored. And I think that's the general experience of the people in this group that are going to be talking to you today. And so Ken had heard of my advocacy for things like early treatment, but also the fact that I've been raising the issues in the CDC's own warning system, the VAERS system, and taking a fair amount of flack for it and being attacked for it. But I'm not sure, I'll let Ken tell the story, but it seemed like he didn't have any place else to turn. So he called me up, or contacted my office, I called him back, and we got on a Zoom call with members of their group, and it was almost 2 hours, a good solid hour and a half. I know it went on, I had to go take another phone call. A lot of tears. What I came away from that phone call was, this is a group of people that have a very simple request. They just want to be seen. They want their stories heard. They would like to be believed. Now, from my standpoint, I thought I could at least help on the first two. I could work with Ken, and we could create an event so that they could be seen, they could be heard. It'll be up to the audience to see whether they give them the believe part. At a minimum, I hope they are taken seriously. They need to be taken seriously. So with that, without further ado, Ken Ruckers, I think you all know who Ken is.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Johnson. And I want to thank the media as well for being here. Appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to be here.
Get the microphone a little bit closer, you can.
I became acquainted with this group, and I'll tell you a little bit about the group in a second, when my wife, Cheryl, took the first dose of Moderna and started to have some adverse reactions. And she'll talk about that in greater detail. And we went through going to see doctors, neurologists, tests, MRIs, and again, she'll talk about that. But her doctors were stumped. As you all know, this is new stuff, right? We're in a lot of new territory. And after lots of tests and scans, she started looking, doing some of her own research because she wanted answers. And that's when she found a physician who had also had similar neurological reactions. And it was on a Neurology Today website, and the physician had posted on it. And they found Dr. Hertz. And that's how this group started. And they found each other. They started a private social media group. And as more people, you know, and this was in January and then February, and the group grew. And as more people took the vaccine, the group continued to grow. And as they grew, they reached out to doctors for help. And you'll hear all kinds of nutritionists and acupuncturists, neurologists, all kinds of doctors. And without any answers, they wrote a letter and signed the letter, and they sent it out to the CDC, the FDA, and the White House. They reached out to media, local media, national media. They reached out to their local politicians. They tried contacting the drug companies, and without response. I mean, they often use the term, God, we feel ghosted. Without a voice, with the daily growing population that were experiencing these reactions, and their frustration with not being heard or seen or recognized or believed. I mean, they didn't even have a chance to be believed because nobody responded. My brother and I and Cheryl and Bree started a website. C as in COVID, C19 Vax, VAXReactions.com. And it was a place that they could find each other, travelers in a desert that provided an idea that, hey, maybe we're not alone as we think. And people started sharing their stories. And there's over 30 stories that people have written and posted on this website, and another 54 or 5 that are waiting to be edited and put on. That's well over 80 people that are reaching out because they want their stories to be heard. I started to do interviews, like video interviews, like Zoom interviews with them to help them tell their stories. As I got to know the group, as it grew, and then another group also came into the fold within, you know, that website, there's now over 2,000 people that represent three different groups that are, and we've got contacted recently with more groups that say, yeah, we're in on this too. They're kind of out there, and we don't even know about them because they're not being heard. But let me just tell you a little bit about the group. They're mostly women. And there's probably a couple reasons, and I won't get into that, but there's probably at least two or three different reasons why that is. But, we can talk about that later. They are pro-vaccine, as Senator Johnson said, right? We're pro-vaccine. And they think we can be pro-vaccine, attack this pandemic, get through this pandemic, and be taken care of and being heard. They think we can do both. That sounds reasonable to me. Many in the group, especially the first few weeks, are doctors, physicians, nurses, mental health professionals, because they were in the first rollout. So you had a lot of people that were pro-science, and they're pro-science, right? We have an electrical engineer, a dental hygienist. My wife's working on her master's in counseling. Bree and her husband, who's a PhD in chemistry, right? Candace, who's a PhD. I mean, these are people that are very pro-education, pro-science. And the crazy thing, and I think Senator Johnson mentioned that, and when we got on the Zoom on Sunday, part of what I saw was, I saw, as you probably see to some degree, they look normal. And they'll talk about vibrations and tingling and numbness, and I mean, imagine, it's hard even for me to get to get my mind around when my wife says, yeah, my face feels like you've been to the dentist, you get a Novocaine shot, and it starts to come back from numbness like a tingling. And then after about 20 or 30 minutes, it goes away. But this is her life. This is their life 24/7. Can you imagine having that tingly, funky, like drooly look, but all over your face or all over your body? And they're searching for medical solutions without any answers. And the other thing I've noticed too with this group, as I've interviewed them and gotten to know them and listened to them talk, is they are desperately vulnerable to medical hucksters. Without the research and without the science and without studying this, they are vulnerable people because they're desperate for their health. So with that desperation, I continued to edit and I saw these voices that weren't being heard. And so I just uploaded on the website Maddie and Stephanie's story. And I thought to myself, my goodness, this seems like a no-brainer to me, right? You have people that are fellow Americans that are being hurt, no fault of their own. They were moving forward to help us all move beyond the pandemic and get vaccinated. Now, you know, a small percentage, right? And I thought, man, that's a no-brainer. I don't know why. I mean, I'm living out in Oregon, but Senator Johnson came to mind. He seemed like to me as the sound bites I'd heard over the last few years seemed like a decent man. He seemed like a good man. And I was at my wit's end, not because I needed help, but because I'd heard their stories. And so I called up Senator Johnson. He called me back later that day. I was overwhelmed. And when I told them, the rest of the group, the news, they were overwhelmed because they felt like, wow, we're finally being heard. And so we're going to show a video. Yeah, we're going to show a video, and then they're going to take a turn sharing their stories.
So if you want to run that, turn off the light there so people can see it. Thank you.
So thank you again for being here and for seeing them and believing them and hearing them.
Never been an anti-vaxxer. I have received every vaccination possible.
I am pro-vaccine and pro-science.
My children have all been vaccinated. I was part of the phase 3 clinical trial for AstraZeneca here in the United States.
This is my daughter, Maddie, who was in the Pfizer vaccine trial for 12 to 15 year olds.
I received Moderna.
One dose of Moderna.
I received my Pfizer vaccination. I was ready to do it for my family, for my community, and for me to get back to my career.
I lined up to get this vaccine in the clinical trial, so obviously I was pro-vaccine going into this. I still am pro-vaccine.
We weren't worried. She just said she didn't think anything would happen. Started not feeling well in the middle of the night. She came into her room. Her heart felt like it was being pulled out of her body and then up through her neck.
I started to feel dizzy. I had heart palpitations. Felt like I couldn't breathe.
And my leg buckled. I literally looked down to see that I had legs, but they were not there. They were not functioning. I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel anything from the waist down.
My face has paresthesia, and so it tingles and burns all the time.
You couldn't touch her anywhere on her body or she would scream.
I was having these shaking fits, and I would explain it as my body just violently shaking.
I sat her down and gave her my will, and I actually recorded it so that my son wouldn't have to go through if I didn't make it.
I feel like I'm on a recording, that my body is just going to snap and fold up and they're going to place me in a little box.
The one doctor that was in charge of my case told me to get used to being handicapped. Which, excuse me,
feel debilitated. I am debilitated.
I wish I could show my daughter, but she was like before all this. So they could see. There was nothing wrong with her. She was perfectly happy.
I was fine one day, and then I wasn't. And I didn't develop MS overnight.
You can tell me all the things that I haven't had, but you can't tell me what I have had. And I can tell you that I've had the vaccination.
Which I myself, I know for a fact that this was a reaction to the vaccine.
I think they thought I was crazy. I really do think that I was crazy until I found others like me and was able to tell them, look, I'm not the only one suffering this, guys. Like, there are more people that this is happening to.
Know that there is a bigger risk with kids and admit it. Admit all the symptoms that Maddie had in the report, because they're not all in there.
We're not seen. We're not people. We're invisible.
I want to be seen, I want to be heard, and I want to be believed, because I think from those three things will be the answers.
I'm very much pro-science. I think that science will be able to get us out of this.
I guess that's how I'm going to end it. I'm not going to stop, I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to shut up.
Hi. Thank you for being here today, and thank you again, Senator Johnson, for giving us a platform to be able to share our stories. My name is Cheryl Rutgers. I live in Oregon. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, and a grandmother. I'm also a graduate student completing my degree in clinical mental health. I'm also completing a professional internship at a group home for adjudicated females as a step down from formal corrections, and it was that that afforded me the opportunity to be in phase one of Oregon's rollout of the vaccine. On January 14th, I received the Moderna vaccine. The next morning, I woke up with severely swollen lymph nodes in my neck. Could barely move my neck. 3 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night with stroke-like symptoms. I went to the emergency room. My face and scalp were tingling, numb, and burning with pain, and my left arm and legs were weak and also numb. Since then, I have been seen by multiple neurologists, one of whom diagnosed me with vaccine-induced autoimmune neuropathy, although he did tell me that he was flying blind because he had never seen reaction like this to a vaccine, and hence doesn't know how to treat me. I also had one neurologist who diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis, despite stating that my brain scan showed absolutely no evidence of disease. I do not have MS. Right. No. My scans are clean. Over the course of 5 months, my neurological symptoms have intensified to include neuropathy in both feet, involuntary muscle twitching and weakness, internal tremors, intermittent essential tremors in my hands. I have sort of Parkinsonian symptoms. I have debilitating brain fog. I have facial paresthesia and nerve pain. And that happens all day long for the last 5 months. I said in the video that I feel debilitated, and this has been debilitating for me. Before my vaccine, I was very healthy and active. I enjoyed fly fishing and mountain biking, hiking, and chasing after our grandkids. I also enjoyed my graduate studies, and I also just went to the doctor once a year for annual checkups. I was very grateful for good health because I have friends who do not have good health. Since my vaccine, I have debilitating brain fog and an inability to sustain my focus on my studies and my demanding internship, to the point that I had to drastically reduce my counseling client load by 75%. My neurological symptoms have left me barely able to function some days, and the internal tremors create a type of fatigue that I have never experienced before. I'm unable to fully participate in the activities that I enjoyed before being vaccinated. My life has been negatively altered as a result of my vaccine. Will I get better? Will I develop Parkinson's or MS or ALS or another neurodegenerative disease? I don't know. And my doctors can't tell me if they know. So what do I want? I want our neurological injuries to be recognized and acknowledged by the CDC and the FDA. This will allow the medical community to research with freedom and openness that's necessary to help us and the many people that are coming behind us. As it's been stated, I'm pro-vaccine, I'm definitely pro-science, but I'm also pro-informed consent. And these vaccine injuries are real, but people don't know. People need to understand that these reactions exist and they need to be researched. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Good morning. My name is Candace Hayden, and I'm from Michigan. I received the Moderna vaccine on March 2nd and the second dose on March 30th. On April 18th, I had a typical day, swimming, running, and gardening. I was beginning the training for my next triathlon. At 7 p.m., I turned to my left and felt an odd pain under my shoulder blade. I took a step and my right leg buckled slightly, but I didn't think anything of it. I continued with my day. And then around midnight, I went to stand and both my legs buckled. I was suffering from severe paresthesia and was paralyzed, partially paralyzed from my chest down. During the 26-day hospital stay, I had 6 MRIs, 2 CTs, a TEE, a spinal tap, and several blood tests. They ruled out MS, transverse myelitis, spinal cord stroke, and autoimmune disease. Medically, there was absolutely nothing wrong with my body. After 7 days, the medical team prescribed an aggressive dose of steroids that resulted in no change. I started inpatient therapy after 17 days, and I was released from the hospital on May 14th with no concrete diagnosis. The head of my medical team told me that I should get used to being handicapped. I started and am still in outpatient therapy, and on May 21st, I visited my primary care doctor as I was instructed, who told me that she couldn't offer me anything, but if I needed her, to give her a call. My medical team at the hospital refused to associate my condition with the vaccine, and I continually asked them to report to VAERS, but I don't think that they did. It defies my imagination that we can find each other. But the medical community refuses to draw the lines and recognize that people are suffering similar adverse side effects. Case in point, I was able to locate another patient in the hospital that I was in with similar symptoms, brought it to the attention of my medical team, and they refused to even speak to that patient's doctor. I don't have a spouse, nor do I have young children. In one respect, I'm truly blessed from my family not having to have to suffer. But it leaves me isolated and lonely, as my interactions with others is limited. This is far worse than COVID lockdown. Before this, I was healthy, I was active, and self-sufficient. I fear my diminished quality of life is my new normal. Will I ever run again? Will I ever ride my bike? I would give anything to get in my car and just drive it. My greatest fear is for others like Maddie, the children, those that are younger that don't have a voice, that can't tell you how they're feeling, that don't understand why their legs are no longer working. I am pro-vaccine. I am pro-science. And I understand the vaccine is for the greater good. However, I also understand that we represent a small portion experiencing negative side effects. We trusted science, and we did our part. As a result, we are now synonymous to wounded soldiers who should not be left behind. We are asking to be seen, we are asking to be heard, and we're asking to be believed. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Christy Dobbs. I do really appreciate you all being here today. It means a lot to us. And Senator Johnson, Senator Johnson, thank you so much for your willingness to have us here so that my voice can be heard, but not just mine, but thousands behind me. As I said, my name is Christy Dobbs. I'm from Missouri. I am a wife and a mother of four children, and I have practiced as a dental hygienist for the last 17 years. And since being in such a career, I have always been pro-science and pro-vaccination. Before my vaccination, I was a healthy and active 39-year-old. I enjoyed activities outside, traveling, and crafting with my family. I also cherished my work in a very busy pediatric dental office. I was not taking any medications prior to the vaccine, and I have never had a COVID infection, and I have been tested for proof. In January, my life changed drastically. Immediately after the injection, I felt an odd tingling type dripping sensation in my arm. I had immediate heart palpitations and a feeling as if I was going to pass out. I'm so sorry. And my blood pressure reading was so high that I don't know how I didn't have a stroke. I cannot quote what it was, but as a hygienist, I take blood pressure readings on my patients before I treat them, my adult patients. And it was so high that I was scared in that moment that something was happening to me. I did eventually stabilize. They monitored me for the 15 minutes and then an extra 30 minutes after. And I did stabilize, so they went on ahead and sent me home. When I got home, I felt a little, you know, woozy, a little dizzy. The next couple of days, I just had a headache and just kind of that feeling of unwell, all of the things that I had signed up for to get the vaccine. But it was 3 days later that my symptoms increased and accelerated. I had a sharp stabbing pain in my scapula area that was just this intermittent, like a knife stabbing pain. I had tingling and numbness throughout my body. It ran down both my arms. I also still had the heart palpitations. I had these internal vibrations. And the only way I can explain the internal vibrations is it feels like you have this little electric shock running through your body, like you're stuck in a vibrating chair, like glued into it, and it never stops, which has made me leery if I'll ever be able to practice as a hygienist again. And like Cheryl, I am so fearful that I may have some sort of neurological issue after this with Parkinson's. They have ruled out MS, but again, they have not told me that I have anything. They can tell me what I don't have. I have swollen lymph nodes, brain fog. I had brain fog so extreme that I would be having a conversation with someone and I would black out. Try to come back to that conversation and nothing was there. Swollen lymph nodes, muscle weakness, unexplained skin rashes. I had convulsions and nighttime seizures. I had to have my six-year-old daughter wake me up from a fit in the middle of the night. No six-year-old should have to do that for their parent. I have also experienced thick, clotting, heavy menstrual cycles. I was so afraid that I literally, and I have it with me, I prepared my will and my obituary for my family because I didn't think that I would wake up to the next day. I have reported my symptoms to VSafe, VAERS, CDC, FDA, Pfizer. I have also sent information to two very well-known research institutes, and I have also reached out to prestigious universities. I've been dealing with this for 5 months. These past 5 months, my severe neurological reactions continue to plague me. Every day feels like I'm trapped in the movie Groundhog Day. I go to sleep praying, thinking I'm going to wake up the next morning and be better. And I'm not. I've had multiple tests, more than any person should have to go through this time in their life. I have had x-rays, blood work, MRIs, CT scans, ultrasounds, EEGs, and more. To date, the medical community has still remained baffled and unable to restore my health. I'm scared and frightened for my future. So I do have hope, and this is why I'm here today, speaking out. This is not an easy thing to do, guys. But I hope that our conditions will be researched and studied. I hope that we can find a solution and a pathway to health. That's all we want. I would give anything. I would give my whole life savings if I could go back to January 17th and never to have had to experience this in my life. And three, that those that are suffering and that those that will come behind us because the vaccine is still rolling out, that they will benefit from us coming forward and speaking today. We have suffered long enough. I think that we do deserve this time that you've given us today, and we are so gracious that you've taken your time to be here today. But we do deserve to be seen, which you are seeing us today, and heard, you're listening, but we need to be believed. That is the biggest issue. We just want you guys to believe that this is real. We are real Americans. We are real people experiencing these side effects. So I thank you for doing just that today.
Real close, Stephanie. So we can hear you.
All right. So first, thank you, Senator Johnson, for the opportunity to share Maddie's story, and to all of you for your willingness to listen. This isn't easy for me, and this has been very clearly emotional, so I'm going to read what I've written so I don't lose track. My name is Stephanie, and this is my daughter, Maddie, and we live in Ohio. On January 20th, Maddie received her second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine as a participant in the clinical trial for 12 to 15-year-olds. All three of our kids volunteered and were excited to participate in the trial as a way to help us all return to normal life. My husband works in the medical field, and I have a degree in electrical engineering. We are pro-vaccine and pro-science, which is why we agreed to let Maddie and her two older brothers volunteer for the trial. Before Maddie got her final dose of the vaccine, she was a healthy 12-year-old who got straight A's and had lots of friends. She had a life. She was energetic. She was not like this. Although she does still have lots of friends. Upon receiving the second shot, Maddie immediately felt pain at the injection site. And over the next 24 hours, she developed severe abdominal and chest pain. And the way she described the chest pain, and I quote, "It feels like my heart is being ripped out through my neck." She had painful electrical shocks down her neck and spine that forced her to walk hunched over. She had extreme pain in her fingers and toes. It actually made them turn white, and they were cold whenever you touched them. She had edema. So my husband immediately took her to the ER as instructed by the vaccine trial nurse administrator, which is what we were instructed to do. Her blood was taken for a renal profile and tested. She was checked for appendicitis, which she did not have, and given an IV with some medicine and sent home. However, in the discharge papers from the Children's Hospital ER that she went to, the diagnosis stated adverse effect of vaccine initial encounter. This would be the only time that that was written in her medical charts, but it's in there. Over the next 2.5 months, her abdominal, muscle, and nerve pain became unbearable. She developed additional symptoms that included gastroparesis, nausea and vomiting, erratic blood pressure and heart rate, memory loss, she mixes up words, brain fog, headaches, dizziness, fainting, she fell and hit her head, and then seizures. She developed verbal and motor tics. She had loss of feeling from the waist down, and muscle weakness. Drastic changes in her vision, urinary retention and loss of bladder control, severely irregular and heavy menstrual cycles, and eventually she had to have an NG tube put in to get nutrition. All of these symptoms are still here today. Some days are worse than others. Our greatest challenge came when her doctors began to consider an alternative diagnosis. Well, she really didn't have one before, so it was the first one. So, like everybody else, she had lots of tests, but not nearly as many tests as everybody else, and she's a child. Why didn't they do this? All those tests on her. Sorry. So, because they couldn't figure it out, one physician labeled her as having functional neurologic disorder, saying it was due to anxiety. This concerned us, and we didn't agree with it because she doesn't have the anxiety. Look at her. I mean, what 13-year-old can sit here calmly, okay, if they have anxiety or mental issues? At one point, they even tried to admit her to a mental hospital. So we did seek additional medical opinions, some of which came from this group. In June, we connected her neurologist with another doctor that's doing research on adverse reactions like Maddie's. She was finally provided, but they finally gave her an MRI, did an MRI of her brain, an MRV, and a bunch of additional blood tests. It took 5 months to get that done. Over the past 5 months, Maddie has been to the ER 9 times and has been hospitalized 3 times for a total of 2 months in the hospital. What I want to ask, Maddie volunteered for the Pfizer trial. Why? Why aren't they researching her to figure out why this happened so other people don't have to go through this? Instead, they're just saying it's mental. If anybody's mental, it's me. So today our journey as parents to help our daughter Maddie continues. All we want is for Maddie to be seen, heard, and believed, because she has not been. And we want her to get the care that she desperately needs so that she can go back to normal. Why is she not back to normal? She was totally fine before this. She did the right thing trying to help everybody else. And they're not helping her. Thanks.
Take this and get set up.
Nice and close.
Closer? I just wanted to say thank you all for being here to hear these stories. And as you can see, now I have to see your faces. We are like family. We have suffered together for so long in a way that no one understands but us. So we really do appreciate you taking your time to give us a voice, to give us this opportunity to plead our case. A huge thank you to Senator Johnson. He's been very kind and very generous with his time. I also want to say thanks to Senator Lee, my home senator, and his staff for their compassion and for taking our concerns seriously. And they're actively working with us to help us find a solution. My name is Breanne Dressen. I am a preschool teacher in Utah, and I am a mother of 2 small kids. Like everyone else here, I am a strong supporter of science, and I have always believed in the importance of vaccines. I was so confident in this that I enrolled in the phase 3 clinical trial here in the United States for AstraZeneca. Within minutes of my first shot, I felt tingling down my arm, and by that evening, my vision had become blurry, and sound became distorted, and I developed hyperacusis, which is a sensitivity to sound. Within 48 hours, I landed into the ER, the first of many visits. My sensitivity to light and sound became so severe that I had to be confined to my bedroom alone
in darkness and silence. Even brushing my teeth was painful. I then began experiencing erratic heart rate, body temperature, extreme nausea to the point that I lost over 20 pounds. Just before Thanksgiving, I lost control of my legs and my bladder, along with my dignity. At the hospital, I was treated for a severe migraine, and when that didn't resolve anything, they told me it was anxiety. Next came the vibrations, and they were internal vibrations in my brain and all through my body. I couldn't think, I couldn't eat, I could barely breathe. This persisted 24/7 for months. I was trapped in isolation and in silence, completely overwhelmed by the sensations attacking my body. My children went days without seeing me. I missed out on months of their lives. I did not buy a single Christmas present for my kids. I thought I was dying, and after months, I wanted to die. After months of suffering alone, I found Dr. Hertz and her group. I was initially relieved to hear others like me. However, my relief turned to alarm as our numbers grew, and then it started impacting kids. All of our experiences were similar. Healthy people who became ill after receiving the vaccine, whose doctors insisted that these reactions were not really happening, that the CDC would have told them. They blamed MS. They blamed anxiety. They blamed migraines, anything but the vaccines. A new friend of mine had long haulers. Then she received the vaccine in hopes that her symptoms would improve. However, rather than bringing relief, the vaccine took what little progress she had made, leaving her severely debilitated. We talked often, many days just trying to hold on. Then I hadn't heard from her for a few days, and I get a phone call from her husband, and she had become a victim of suicide. The human toll is real. This is not some benign reaction. This thing overtakes your body, and you have no choice but to hold on and hope that you survive. We have been robbed of our cognitive abilities, our physical abilities. We cannot work. We cannot care for our families or our children or ourselves. We are struggling to make it through each day, abandoned by our healthcare teams. We are the collateral damage of the pandemic. As you can see, I am recovering. I can walk. The touch of my little son's hand no longer feels like it's setting me on fire. The sweet sound of my daughter's voice no longer feels like it's attacking my brain. But I have a long way to go. I still am unable to work or care for my children. We had to refinance our home to hire a nanny. Before this, I took one medication, a thyroid pill, every day. And now I am on 9. And that's just to turn down the dial just enough to make the symptoms bearable. We all volunteered to receive the vaccine to try to help to end the pandemic, but now we are suffering. COVID has impacted all of us. For some, it has resulted in loss of life. For others, they are now long haulers, debilitated and suffering. There are long haulers who have got the vaccine and their condition improved. There are long haulers who got the vaccine and they stayed the same. And there are long haulers that got the vaccine and now they are worse. And there are some who never had COVID and are now severely debilitated and sick. This is us. We are part of the full picture. Please do not erase us. Please do not make us invisible. To the media, we need your help to start the conversation, to help us end the stigma surrounding the term COVID vaccine reaction. To the CDC and FDA, we desperately need you to communicate with the medical community what is happening. To our elected officials, we need help getting momentum for research for early intervention strategies so that when these patients do arrive in the ERs and hospitals, physicians will be equipped with the knowledge and tools to help us. To the medical community and to research institutions, please help us. Please hear us. Please believe us. Thank you.
So I hope you can see, I hope you can hear. I think it's pretty obvious why I felt so overwhelmed as I did the interviews. This is what they were saying. This is their story. These are their stories. And that's why I reached out to Senator Johnson. Even as a spouse, my wife wakes up and she looks normal. She is that, you know, they're all fighters. Right? And, you know, I have to fight myself. You know, the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? Minor surgery is when you're on the operating table. Major surgery is when I'm on the operating table. Right? Minor face numbness and tingling is when it's yours. Major is when it's mine. And that's, so hearing their stories, you can see why I made the call to Senator Johnson. Thank you so much for giving this group a voice, and they speak for thousands. So thank you for giving thousands of people a voice.
Again, Ken, thank you for reaching out. Again, I want to thank the media for coming here and hearing the stories. I'll just say I, for one, believe them. I don't know how anybody can listen to these stories and at least not take them seriously. Yeah, I understand we all want this pandemic to be over. We're all hoping that there was that silver bullet to end it. And so I completely understand now that we have a vaccine and it has been effective and we have 300 million doses and most people receive it and they don't suffer symptoms, why there's such a desire to just overlook, to downplay what's happening to our fellow human beings, that small minority that are suffering severe symptoms. We want to deny that reality. But the first step in solving any problem, and I view this as a problem, is admitting you have one. And I think, unfortunately, because of that desire to end this pandemic, I think too many people in the medical establishment and in our federal health agencies are, if not completely ignoring, certainly downplaying what is happening. So what I would like to do is quick put up three charts. These are all supplied to you. By the way, this is what's gotten me attacked. Just showing what is publicly available information by the CDC. This is the CDC's early warning system on vaccines. It's been up and operating for 31 years. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Do we have this up yet?
It's coming up.
Go full screen. So what the first chart shows you is just a bar chart showing what the VAERS has reported in COVID deaths since the vaccine first began administered. And as Dr. Risch and Dr. Ladapo pointed out, there are these reactions that are clustering around the first few days of receiving the vaccine. I think you heard that from the group here. Their symptoms started almost immediately. But in terms of deaths, on day zero, the day you get the vaccine, 619 people have died, and it's been reported to the VAERS system. On the day after, the day one, 764. On day two, 353 people. And then it tapers off. Now, I presented this to Dr. Collins, the head of the NIH, a couple months ago. I think this is when total VAERS deaths were something like 3,000. His reaction was more than disappointing. It was just basically, well, you know, Senator, people die. We've looked into these, and except for back then, I think there were six cases of childbearing age women dying from blood clots. That's the only thing that we've connected to these vaccines. Okay, again, none of us are medical doctors. None of us are medical researchers. We're not pretending to be, but we can see the publicly available information. We can look at the numbers. We can take a look at this data and go, this is concerning. This ought to be taken seriously. This ought to be looked at. Put up the next chart. So here are the actual numbers. And I've got two columns here. The first column is the VAERS reports for just COVID-19. This is over the last 6 months, basically. The other column is the adverse effects for 31 years, since the VAERS system was established on July 1st, 1990. So you've got 6 months worth of data sitting right next to 31 years worth of data. So total number of deaths under COVID is 4,812. For the 31 years before the COVID vaccine, all of the vaccines, total deaths were 5,039. We're fast approaching 31 years worth of deaths with just the COVID vaccine. Again, talked about the deaths on day 0, 1, and 2, 1,700 versus, again, 31 years worth, about 1,900. Permanent disabilities, almost 5,000. Over 31 years, have been about 12,000. Total hospitalizations, 21,440 in 6 months versus 37,694 over 31 years. Now, there are many problems with VAERS. It is far from perfect. It does not prove causation or necessarily even correlation. But one of the problems with VAERS is it dramatically, generally underreports the adverse events. There was a Harvard study that said that the VAERS system only captures about 1%. Now, I would personally think because of COVID, everybody know, you know, more people are learning the VAERS system. Still, the vast majority of people don't even know this exists. But my guess is you probably have a higher percentage reporting of COVID adverse events than you have in the previous 31 years. Let's go to my next slide. This chart shows adverse events in the first five rows, again, over that 31-year period for different drugs. And we're just comparing adverse events for different drugs. So again, the first five lines, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, flu vaccines, dexamethasone, which is a steroid that's being used to treat COVID, and Tylenol. So you got three columns here. The number of adverse events over 31 years in the first five rows, then you have number of deaths, and then you have average deaths per year. So you can see ivermectin, let's just concentrate on death per year. Two for ivermectin, 23 for hydroxychloroquine, 38 for flu, 150 for dexamethasone. Again, you put something in somebody's body and people have adverse effects. Tylenol, 730 on average per year. It's one of the reasons I've said that, you know, you compare the safety record of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine to Tylenol. Tylenol is probably the more dangerous drug. Then you take a look at remdesivir. This is the drug that's been given emergency use authorization. It costs over $3,000 per dose, per treatment. We've got 4,699 adverse deaths. No, I mean adverse events related to remdesivir, 1,100 deaths, 1,200 deaths. And I think the real number that you ought to concentrate on is, again, in just 6 months. I mean, remdesivir, that's about a year and a half worth. For COVID vaccines, it's 6 months, 384,000 adverse events. 4,812 deaths. Again, I'm not a medical researcher. I'm not a doctor, but I'm an accountant. I understand numbers. Just looking at the numbers, This is something that would concern me. And I do not understand why our health agencies have not paid attention to Maddie and Stephanie and Christy and Cheryl and Candace and Bree. What's going on? What's happening here? So I was going to ask a couple questions, but I think they've done such a good job presenting themselves. I don't have any further questions. There are so many more stories to be told. Just in the days that I announced this press event, other than be attacked, I've also been inundated with other stories. Everybody wanted me to put their story up on the screen. We will put them up on our website. Once we validate them and verify them, there will be a flood of new information. I know in the press packet, I think there's over 100 links to other news stories. There are journalists that are paying attention to this, that are inquisitive, that are doing investigations, that are taking the stories of people in their local community seriously, and they're writing stories about it. So we provide those links. There will be a whole lot more because of the courage of this group coming forward and subjecting themselves to the process, possible ridicule, possible vilification. I hope that doesn't happen. But with that, I'm happy to throw it open to questions. And we also offered, once you have the general questions, this group is being generous with the time. They'll sit and do one-on-one interviews as well if you want stories, although I think they did such a marvelous job of encapsulating in a short period of time what they've gone through. And I hope there's some sympathy here. And I hope people focus on the issue at hand. And I hope at a minimum they're taken seriously. With that, we'll throw it open to questions. Do we have a microphone for the...
Yeah, right here.
Okay. So if you want to ask a question, just grab the mic.
Jason Calvi with Fox 6. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it very much. Critics say you're hurting chances of getting out of the pandemic. They point out that 99% of the people that are dying now of COVID-19 are unvaccinated. What's your response to that?
So, again, I am happy to answer your specific questions to me when we've, you know, gone through all the questions for the group here. So let's direct those questions. I'll come back. I'll hold a full press conference. So you can ask me those types of questions after. Right now, I want to focus on these individuals that have had the courage to come forward and tell their stories.
This is for Maddie's mother. Your two sons who got the vaccine, did they have any difficulties? And also, what has been your contact with the vaccine maker and the study?
Get it real close, Stephanie.
Okay. So her one brother got the placebo. He had obviously absolutely zero reaction, actually told Maddie that she was, you know, jokingly, you know, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm fine. My other son, he got one dose and he got COVID shortly after that. So, yeah. So I had COVID not knowing it, and I had none of the typical symptoms. Mine were all gastro, so I had no clue that I had it. I got tested only because we were out of town, and that was what you at work in school. So I got tested. I was completely shocked. So that was the day that they got their first vaccination. So in the trial, they did not vaccinate him for the second dose, but they did continue to follow him. He had COVID way worse than I did, way worse. He was sick. He was out of school for almost a month.
And then your dealings with the vaccine maker has been?
We have been dealing directly because we trusted. I would not have let my kids be in a trial if I didn't trust. I trust science. I trusted the doctors. We went to the hospital where the trial was at so that it would make it easier, so that he had access. They had access to everything. We thought, I trusted that if I knew there was a risk, I trusted that if something happened, she was going to be taken care of, and she was not. So we have gone directly through the doctor, and maybe that's bad on my part, but it sounds like it doesn't matter if I would have contacted Pfizer, because nobody else is getting responses from them. So I don't know if that answers your question.
through this, it's like, especially, and she looks way better now than she did before. But you just don't have the energy to even do that. I was fighting doctors trying to get them to listen to what was happening to her and not say she's crazy. That's where all my time and energy was spent, researching, because nobody else was researching for her.
By the way, I want to encourage anybody else who wants to hop in and provide a response to a question to do so, not just the individual it's been directed to. If you've got something to say on the topic.
You're looking straight at me, so.
It's because I'm facing this way. But.
Just to go along with what Steph was saying, I'm disappointed in my experience with my test clinic and with my study sponsor. Initially, they emphatically told us over and over, we believe you, please send us all of your medical records as this goes along, and we were in constant dialogue, and then when I was admitted just before Thanksgiving, I had to be unblinded, and I'm not entirely sure what happened to my data after that, but the calls stopped, and I think I heard from them one time after that, even though we kept feeding them all of our records. I honestly, deep down in my core, even though my life was falling apart and I had no idea what was going on, I really, really was hoping that there would have been some kind of pre-existing condition unearthed to explain this. Looking back on this, it is so sad, and I'm sure Steph can agree. We signed up for this. I signed up for this. And the reason I signed up for this is I didn't think this was going to happen, obviously, but if this were to happen to us, we're supposed to take notice, we take note, we talk about it, we try to figure it out. So then when this happens to everybody else, when it's rolled out to the public, we can do something about it, that we see it, we can take action, we can do early intervention, whatever. But instead, what happened was we did not talk about it, not one word. So what happened to me has now happened to thousands. The test clinic agreed to pay for my bills. I have yet to see a single cent. Thank you.
I just want to add.
Your bills are totaled what?
I'm over 12,000 now, and that's just for the medical part.
So I just want to add, Maddie was not unblinded, and we purposely did that because I knew she got the vaccine. Because if you are unblinded, your data is excluded. So we did not. Look at Pfizer's. Go see if you see all her symptoms on there. It's functional abdominal pain, still being investigated. And they have not paid for any of our bills. She has Medicaid now on top of, she was approved for that, on top of our insurance. So our insurance has paid for it and Medicaid.
Are there any other questions? Okay, sir.
I asked the question to the senator, but I'm wondering what is your reaction when you hear those critics that say this is disinformation to shine a light on your stories? They say that most of the people have not had these negative side effects. So what's your reaction to those? Because you're going to hear those critics, and I want to hear from you on that if you could.
Okay, why don't you start?
Yeah, I'll start. yeah, that's a great question. I don't think anybody here, but I'll speak for myself. Yeah, I mean, and I think the senator alluded to it, right? Let's make the truth our friend. Let's make science and honesty our friend. Everyone here knows, including you guys, right, that 99% or whatever that number is, because we don't really know. I hope that we want to know. I think, like Senator said, there's a lot of maybe fear and concern, as you mentioned. But I think we do better when we're being honest with ourselves and we're being truthful in our society. And so we know it's 99% or plus or minus are doing great. And that's why everybody's still very much pro-vaccine, pro-science. But what I think they're asking for, what I hear them asking for, what I would advocate for is that they be heard, believed, and then so that they can be taken care of. I think Bree mentioned collateral damage. Candace mentioned, you know, like, in a sense, like wounded warriors. Is that, yeah? I don't want to denigrate or diminish, you know, veterans that were out in the war, but in a sense, we've been at battle against the pandemic, and there's been damage. Seems like a, and that's why I reached out to Senator Johnson, seems reasonable to say, well, let's help these people, right?
I'll just add that we had the conversation this morning at breakfast, and we asked, would we have taken the vaccine if we knew that there would be neurological repercussions? And I'm speaking for myself, and I feel that this was what was said around the table. We would have read the documentation, but again, there's no template that says that if you have A, B, or C, this may be your, you may experience the adverse side effects. So I, for one, would have still taken the vaccination because my job as an American citizen is to support us getting out of this pandemic. I don't believe that we should be left to the side because this is still a trial, which means that we're part of the trial, and we should benefit from understanding what others coming behind us may or may not experience. Full disclosure of what the vaccination could cause. Thank you.
Right over here.
Thank you. Ken, you mentioned let's take care of these people. Is there some discussion among you all to file a lawsuit or take some kind of legal action to try to do this on a bigger scale?
You can't. I'm just going to add to that really quick. Like I said in my speech, there has not been any major discussion. It may have been tossed about at some point in some private conversations, but like I said, none of us are up here for any agenda whatsoever except to get our story out. I mean, like I said, I would give everything if I could just be the person that I was on January 17th, even 8 a.m. on January 18th, before I took that vaccination. If I could just go back to that one moment. I have even told my friends, you know, it's their personal decision if they decide to accept the vaccination. But for me, knowing what I know now, if I were to ever do it, if there's one thing I'd ever go back in my life and change, it would be that moment.
I think our common collective goal at this point is for the CDC and the FDA to recognize the neurological reactions to the vaccine so that it can be studied, it can be researched, so that we know what's happening to our bodies, and then the people who are still being vaccinated, these reactions will continue. I think there's a lot of people out there suffering from different degrees from what we're experiencing.
So yeah, I think to answer your question, the motivation, their motivation has been to be, as you've heard, to get the word out and then to be studied so that we can find solutions for them and people from behind. If there's been any mild conversations about lawsuits, the motivation that I've heard, and it's been hardly any, but the motivation has been purely, how can we get the word out? These people are racking their brains trying to figure out. You know, it's like a Rubik's Cube, like a very high complex Rubik's Cube. They want to be heard, they want to be seen, and they want to be believed. And it's like, how can we do it? That's what I hear. It's not about money. It's how they can help themselves and help others that are behind them. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, if not, again, I'll reporters come up and speak on an individual basis with the members of the group here, and I will come back when you're done with those individual interviews. I'll come back and I'll do a press conference and answer any questions you have of me directly, okay? Thank you all.